Jai, 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 J Bhakta Vrindavijaya Go Vrindavijaya.
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Prayananda Hari 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 Go. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 21st chapter, text 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We got 15, the wrong one on the screen.
Okay, well that was
up,
popped up. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'm a little likes to go back to the first verse.
Hang on here.
Okay. Saha Rama Gopahai Sanchara Yanta. Shambhuta Atapatra. Trishtrata Bay Raja Pashun Sahara Gopai.
Trishtrata Bay Raja Pashun Sahara Gopai.
Sanchara Yanta Manu Vena Mudat Indira Yanta.
Sanchara Yanta Manu
Pravreda Udita Kushamava
Kushamava Vibhi
Shambhuta Atta Patram
Kanchurya Datsvata Kushambhuta Atta Patram
Krishtvata Pe Vraja Pachun Sahara Gopai
Krishtvata Pe Vraja Pachun Sahara Gopai
Sancharayanta Manuvena Mudirayanta
Sancharayanta Manuvena Mudirayanta
Prema Pravreda Udita Kushamavalibhi
Prema Pravreda Udita Kushamavalibhi
Sakyur Vyadatsva Vakusham Buddha Atapatram
Sakyur Vyadatsva Vakusham Buddha Atapatram
Sata Pe Vraja Pashun Saharama Gopai
Sata Pe Vraja Pashun Saharama Gopai
Sancharayanta Manuvena Mudirayanta
Sancharayanta Manuvena Mudirayanta
Prema Praveda Udita Kushamavadibi
Prema Praveda Udita Kushamavadibi
Yurvyadatsva Pakusham Buddha Patram.
Trishtvata Pe Vraja Pashun Saharama Gopai.
Trishtvata Pe Vraja Pashun Saharama Gopai.
Sancharayantam Anumenu Mudirayantam.
Sancharayantam Anumenu Mudirayantam.
Prema Pravrita Udita Kushamava Vibhi.
Prema Pravrita
Vapusha Buddha Atta Patram
Sakyurya Dasa Vapusha Buddha Atta Patram
Trishtvata Pe Vraja Pashun Saharama
Vishvata Pedra Japashan Saharana Gopare Sanchare Yanta Manuvena Mudira Yanta
Vema Pravida Udita Kusuma Vadivi
Vema Pravida Udita Kusuma Vadivi
The cloud made a light umbrella Atapatra over his friend Krishna with his body, and a collection of water drops, Kushuma Bali. The cloud regarded himself as Krishna's friend because they were so similar that they both take away suffering by a shower of rasa. They are both dark colored. They both are the color of lightning, Krishna's dhoti, and both give off sweet sounds. In this way, the cloud gives happiness to Krishna, but we cannot, how unfortunate we are. There's a lot here to talk about. So, first of all, I want to mention about the heat during the summer in Vrindavan. It's sometimes in centigrade, it gets really hot. Like up to 50 degrees. And that's pretty hot. And in Fahrenheit, I guess it's something like 130 degrees. And it's so hot that, I think it was Rudyard Kipling who said, the only people who go outside during the summer are mad dogs and Englishmen. Although, when we are in Govardhan during the summer, it's actually a fact that the people are still going on Parikrama in the middle of the day. And when we go on Parikrama during that time of the year, we only go on Parikrama early in the morning, beginning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then about 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun is so intense that it's like walking into a blast furnace. Has anyone here been beside Mother Earth when you're up in the summer? It's like you open the door, it's like, you just can't go outside. Of course, people are outside, and the interesting thing is that many people wearing long sleeve shirts outside. And I can't believe why. I guess because it sweats and evaporates and it cools down because of the long sleeve shirts. And a few times I've gone outside during the summer season, I've gone into the Kunz, not Radhakund because I'm not advanced enough, but I've gone into the Kunz to cool down and then with my clothes on, full clothes, and then I come out and the clothes are washed. It saves a lot of time and energy. And they dry within about 3 minutes. And that's how hot it is. So, here the heat is being described. So, the question is, you know, why is Krishna actually hot during this particular period? And why is Krishna calling the clouds? Because actually Krishna is calling the clouds with his flute. Just like Krishna calls the coward boys, Krishna calls the gopis, and Krishna, of course, he doesn't call his mother, but his mother knows he's coming in from the pasturing ground when he plays his flute. So Krishna is calling the flute out of compassion, the cloud, sorry, out of compassion for his friends, and also under the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna is experiencing various emotions and feelings that we wouldn't expect the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be experiencing. I mean, just like Krishna gets very worried when Radharani won't associate with him because he's angered by Radharani. And you wouldn't think, you know, you're God. You're supposed to be Optikama. Optikama means whatever you want, you get immediately, right? And you're Swarat, you're independent. So why do you have to worry about some lady who gets upset with you and won't see you? Because you can create unlimited ladies, just like in that story where Krishna, actually Narayan, but Krishna's expansion, and Arjuna too. The ladies from the heavenly planets that were and Narayan, that is Krishna and Arjuna, they just yawned at the whole thing, and then they created their own apsara, and that was Urvasi, and they said to the demigods, just take her back with you. If you like her, you know, take her back. So, and it also Prabhupada said, one who is a confectioner, that means one who makes sweets, is not so much attracted by sweets. In other words, you can't bribe a confectioner with sweets. You can't say, you know, here's a sweet and please do what I want, because the confectioner has unlimited sweets. So why is Krishna in anxiety because he can't associate. Why is he crying? To appease Radharani? I mean, it's a really interesting question. When, you know, he's God. And why is Krishna experiencing the heat? Why is there heat anyway in Vrindavan? Why doesn't Krishna just make it air conditioned all the time? You know, what's going on here? Well, for the sake of enjoyment, Krishna is having these various feelings, moods in Vrindavan with his devotees and with the clouds, is an interaction with the clouds. So Krishna is calling his friends. Of course, you may say, well, like it was mentioned yesterday, this is Agman Bhad, Manyate Chagadan, that's part of the gopis. That the gopis are just projecting their conception upon clouds, which are in most cases obviously inanimate, or maybe they're animate, but they're not entities. Actually, I was listening to a class this morning about Prabhupada talking about Agman Bhad Manyate Chagadan. He said, as human beings, we generally tend to project our own experiences and mentality upon other living entities within this world. And Prabhupada is not like that, because every living entity actually has different types of interactions in this world. Prabhupada gave two examples. He gave the example of the trees which drain through their feet. Actually, that's what a tree is called. What's the Sanskrit for that? Pada or something? Pada something. They're called feet drinkers.
Trishna.
What?
Trishna?
No, not Trishna. There's a pada something, like they drink through their feet. And then Prabhupada gave a really funny example of a bat. You know, it's a little disgusting example. Please excuse me for giving this example in class. But Prabhupada said that I hate to use that example. Anyway, the bat passes still through its mouth. Because Prabhupada said the bat hangs upside down. Anyway, you get the idea. So, stay away from the bats. So, you know, we project things. But in this particular case, you know, you can make the argument it's a projection. But sometimes clouds are persons. And there's one story in the Mahabharata, this has nothing to do with Braja pastimes, where there was a man who wanted to worship a demigod that nobody else worshipped. I don't know if anyone's heard this story before. You know, there's 33 million demigods. So, you know, if you go to a demigod like Lord Shiva or Brahma or Ganesh or any of them, you know, they have plenty of worshippers. So he just thought, let me find a demigod that nobody else worships. And he looked up in the sky, and happened to be one of the clouds was a demigod. And he worshipped him, and he became very rich, and he lived happily ever after. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that, and probably even commented that clouds sometimes are living entities because they undergo the six changes that are part and parcel of being a living entity. What are the six changes? You know, you're born, right? You grow, you maintain yourself, and then you have little byproducts, you know, children. Then you diminish, and you're dead after that. So, yeah, so sometimes clouds make, you know, as hard as that is for us to believe, and it's really a stretch of the imagination.
Can you use clouds or people?
Yeah, some are talking clouds. Thank you for that example. Like the some are talking cloud that is meant for the devastation, destroying everything that Krishna sent to destroy the residents of Vrindavan. So apart from that, but let's talk about Vrindavan, where everything is personal. There is no impersonal. There's no, like, you know, we're talking about chairs or something like that here. I can't talk to my chair. And if I get upset with the chair's not going to break, so it teach me a lesson. It's not a person. And of course, there are little persons in each animal. Right? Each atom has a super soul and a soul in it. So there are persons here. And as Mother Roma mentioned yesterday, that we also have all these little persons in our body, in each and every cell, in each and every of this planet, this body. But in Vrindavan, all these entities, even the stones, I mean, why are the stones melting when they hear the sound of the flute? It's because Krishna is just like playing some like intense vibration. Like nowadays they have these sound weapons that can crash stones. You heard about this before? Sound weapons that they put on the boats and then they can destroy drones and crash stones and everything like that. You know, it's called infrasound, sorry, not ultrasound, like low sound vibration. So it's not like that. The reason the stones melt is because they're entities. They're conscious entities. Even in the Ramayana, there's this interesting story of how once upon a time, Hanuman, so we go to the Ramayana. So once upon a time, Hanuman was having music lessons from Narada Muni. And Hanuman was chanting very beautifully, and Narada Muni had put his veena down on top of a rock, and the rock melted, and the veena was stuck in the rock. Interesting, isn't it? And then Narada Muni said, "Please release my veena." And Hanuman said, "No." And he started to run away from Narada Muni, and Narada Muni, anyway, it's a whole interesting story. Narada Muni ran after him throughout Hanuman's house, and Hanuman said, "I just made this arrangement so your lotus feet would touch every aspect of my house." And then he chanted and then was released again. So anyway, so all the living entities there are actually entities. I mean, they're all living beings with fully conscious in different rasas. And as we've been describing in Nectar Devotion, rasa doesn't mean relationship, it means taste or relationship. You know, whether it's the Shanta ras, Tasha ras, Taki ras, Vatsali ras, and Maturya ras. And pure Shanta ras is not present in Vrindavan. Shanta ras has to be mixed with at least some dasha. And sometimes, that was pointed out yesterday, sometimes even the Shanta ras has a little mixture of Vatsali frame in it. I appreciated that yesterday. I mean, like the trees generally, they're Shanta ras, but they're also serving Krishna and they're also feeling protective of Krishna. And here you see the clouds, which I guess generally you consider in Shanta ras, they have some friendship, they're a friendship relationship with Krishna, which is really interesting. So anyway, so Krishna's playing the flute to call his friends to cover him and cover the coward boys. And this also reminds me of the story with Lord Chaitanya played his cartels to get rid of the clouds. Because it was going to rain, and he didn't want the rain to interfere with the kirtan, so he just played his cartels and got rid of the clouds. So the clouds being friends of Krishna, reciprocated with Krishna, and poured down little droplets, not heavy rain, to actually cool Krishna down. And it's described just like, compared to Krishna, in addition to all the other comparisons that are given here, like Krishna's color, like the yellow of the lightning, and the color of the cloud. In addition to that, they do things that Krishna does, because Krishna pours down the mercy to extinguish, as we're chanting every morning, the spiritual masters representing Krishna, pours down the nectar to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence, you know, samsara. So this samsara is actually like the heat in the Vrindavan summer. It's quite interesting. It's just burning us all the time. So the clouds in Braj are actually soothing the devotees and the devotees and Krishna, of course, are soothing the conditioned soul by giving them Krishna consciousness. It's a very, very interesting comparison. So, we can carry this comparison further in regard to the cloud's mercy upon the coward boys and upon Krishna by comparing them to a devotee. Because a devotee is sacrificing his or her whole life in order to alleviate the sufferings of the conditioned souls. In other words, their whole life is sacrificed. All their plans for material enjoyment, everything is just put aside to carry on an important, most important mission. Otherwise, life has no meaning. Like if you ask most people, you know, what is the meaning of your life? What is the purpose of your life? What are you here for? And most people will say, well, I'm just here to eat, drink, and be merry, or here to just live, take care of my children, to save America or something like that, as the case may be. So there's no purpose. Actually, one of the best ways to preach to people or to explain Krishna consciousness is to keep asking people, what is the purpose of life? Like my mother and I had this discussion before I came to Krishna consciousness. I said, what is the purpose? And she said, to please me. And I said, why? She said, because that's the goal of life or something like that. And I said, anyway, why? I said, and she said, well, become a doctor, at least you can help people. And I said, but they're still going to die. So it still doesn't have any meaning. So therefore, we decide, and actually I can't say myself decided, but Prabhupada, look at the example of Prabhupada, he sacrificed everything in order to alleviate the sufferings of the conditioned souls and carry out the mission of his spiritual master. So let's go back to the comparison with the cloud. The cloud, when it emanates rain, when it emanates rain, it gradually dissipates its existence. It's gone. There's no more cloud. But it served a good purpose. Of course, nobody's going to remember a cloud and make a samadhi for a cloud. That's true. You know, here's this beautiful cloud that cooled me down in the summer. You know, let me make a memorial for this poor cloud that passed away. But the cloud has sacrificed his life. And Prabhupada said the same thing. You just sacrifice this one life for Krishna. You've had so many other lives and done so many other things. But this one life, just give to Krishna, sacrifice this. And that's actually what we can learn from the clouds. Very nice comparison. So anyway, we'll leave some time over for questions. Questions or comments or arguments? Yeah.
So there's a very similar verse in the 35th chapter.
Yeah.
Almost identical. And if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's dictation tapes of Krishna book, and there he says that the clouds were showering flower-like snow.
Snow.
Yeah. And somehow that didn't make it into Krishna book. In Krishna book it just says the clouds were showering flowers.
Right.
That became an umbrella to soothe Krishna. And it's something that I've never been able to get the EDT to fix. Like, you were talking about going closer to Prabhupada. And I said, the dictation tape references flower like snow. So that's something that I find really interesting. It's not mentioned in this verse about the clouds, but the other one, which is a parallel verse. And another thing that I use that verse for the 35th chapter in my presentation about Sakyabha. And I'd like to really explore the concept that Krishna and the cloud are friends because they're the same color. And why is it that the fact that they're the same, so they have a similar function that you talked about. The clouds are Krishna's friend because they relieve him from the heat, which you talked about.
Yeah.
But I wonder on your realization about them being friends because they're the same color.
The same color?
Yeah, the one of the reasons that the clouds of Krishna are friends.
Well, let's talk about friends in this particular discussion. As you know, there's four types of friends. This gets a little technical. So the four types of friends are just the well-wishers, right? The second type is just the regular ones, the young people. Then the third type of friends are the confidential friends, the priyasakas, right? And the fourth type, correct me for a moment, the intimate friends, priyanarma sakas, right? So in this particular case, I would say that the clouds, you know, if you have to think of what type of friend they are, if you say they're in the friendship bus, they're the well-wishers. They'd be the first type. I mean, obviously, they're not priyanarma sakas. Well, let me describe what priyasakas and priyanarma sakas are. Priyasakas are actually the ones who are very almost equal in age to Krishna, and actually just talk to Krishna about the most intimate things. And priyanarma sakas are the ones who actually carry messages and talk to the gopis and arrange for all this other stuff between Krishna and the gopis. So anyway, so the ordinary friends, or just friends, sorry. The well-wishers, actually, that's what we're talking about. The well-wishers look like the clouds. And why are they considered friends of Krishna? Because they have the same color. I think that's the gopis' projection. I would say that that's the gopis' projection, because there's many people with the same color as Krishna who are not Krishna's friends. I can see some people sitting here. Like Hari Purusha, I don't know if he's Krishna's friend, or he's a gopi, or whatever. I think that a lot of it is the gopis just like considering, let's say, in the same way that they would embrace the same color as, whether there was like danger when Krishna wasn't around, they would actually all break, like a Rishtashura story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when there was some danger, they would just embrace the tamal tree, thinking the tamal tree was going to protect them. So that, I don't see any logic behind it. Maybe you have some logic behind it. You have some logic? What's the logic?
Well, Prabhupada talks about how when he's traveling out of India, when he sees another Indian, that immediately they feel some affinity.
Yeah.
And that we have some natural affinity for like people from our family or from our village. And he talks about how like Krishna likes to be called Yasoda Nandana or Nandanandana because of its family. And so in that sense, the cloud being the same color as Krishna, that there's some sense of affinity.
Yeah, but there's some sense of affinity, but you can't say friendship. I mean, some of the gopis are the same color as Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's affinity.
Yeah, I'm looking up also...
Just like when I meet an American and...
Yeah.
In some other country.
It's a similar verse in chapter 35. It's that they're both very attractive. Prabodhananda Swami is talking about the Lord's ever-fresh nature-like cloud.
Yeah.
Ability to destroy pain, affection, and ability to cause increase, and also being full of rasa. Actually, I was just hearing Prabhupada this morning say, any liquid
is rasa.
Rasa. So
rasa. That's why the comparison is given when the rain is like the shower of rasa. But still doesn't indicate the friendship for us. It just indicates connection.
Well, this is all in the context of it, of the cloud being friend.
Yeah, the cloud is a friend, but you asked the question about the color.
About the color.
The color, it seems to be a projection of the gopis. But the other aspects, such as the cloud shielding Krishna and the cowherd boys, and serving Krishna in that way, actually would indicate friendship. But the color itself seems to just be a corroborating evidence, rather than actually something that's substantial. Anyway, yes?
I was thinking of the story of King Chitraketu and his son coming back, when you were talking about no one even knows anybody after they leave their body. I mean, you know, it's like, he says, how many parents have I had, which one are you? And when after someone passes away, 99.9% of the people in this world are forgotten.
Yeah.
And so they've acted for so many things, their country or their family or whatever, and it's all swept away. Only a devotee is doing something that has value, whatever level, our personal bhajan or our preaching.
Yeah.
And we may be forgotten in this body, but Krishna never forgets who we really are.
Yeah, that's the point. The cloud is actually surrendering or sacrificing its very self, you know, manasa deha geha yogishamore, and it has some value. And the same way a devotee should sacrifice everything.
Is that the only thing
that does? Yeah, that's the only thing of value, because ultimately, what do they say? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know, it's not, we haven't contributed anything. We can build, like Prabhupada talked about building a big skyscraper, and then how someone's really attracted or attached to that skyscraper, they could take birth as a rat in the skyscraper in the next life. He said, what is the use? All this endeavor. So, any other questions? Yes, brother.
Isn't that sort of, I thought about when you were talking about how pure devotees see everything as in connection to Krishna, and we're all serving Krishna even if we're unaware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there still a use, or there's still some advancement on whatever we do, because if they build a skyscraper or whatever, that's...
Well, the skyscraper is used for Krishna.
Well, that's sort of like, if they have no connection to Krishna, they have, that's like their karma, they had to do that, they had to learn, whatever happened, somehow they're still getting closer to...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. But unless they learn the lesson from that life.
But they're going
like to the end, like at the end of that life, they just think, I constructed a skyscraper and I didn't surrender to Krishna. Next, you know, they lament like that, but otherwise it's...
Well, do you remember the thing you said in class with the pure devotees, that comment about, like, they see everything as perfect?
Yeah, well, that's an Uttama Adhikara, sees everything as perfect, because everybody is serving Krishna under the jurisdiction of Krishna's external energy. Mm-hmm. And they're embarking on a multi-life experience which will ultimately, hopefully, lead them to the point of frustration in this material world. So, I mean, in that sense, you could say, you know, getting frustrated, having pain in this material world has a purpose. But
yeah.
If we spend our time in things that actually don't contribute to our Krishna consciousness, then that time is wasted.
Frustration
with the part. Wasted. All those whose divine grace should above by the
shield. Okay.
Amen.
All glories to you. All to the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, manifested himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the ponies kept hanging from the rafters of the storms, and then quickly jumped up and ran to the of the shuttle of his to that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's looking snake, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his dream quick, and his mother showed him now his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright and his pearl necklace shook. To the Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, who is bound by his brother's love, I offer my humble obeisances. O super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood, drown the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are collected only whose majestic aspect of Narayana Vaikuntha, the Lord here reveals, I am conquered overwhelmed by pure loving devotion to the Supreme Lord Damodar, my graces hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray for your liberation or eternal life from Vaikuntha or any other guru. My only prayer is that your child of pastimes to constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your child of pastimes would ever connect with my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curly hair, have become reddened like the river fruit of your mother's children's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, of the last for Lord, if you please upon me, and drown in an ocean of sorrow, I'm almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me, uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision. Please show the mountain to a grinding stone with the sons of Kubera, Mani Griba, and Navakubera, who were first to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way, I have no desire for liberation of your opponents. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound to the robe of the Mother Yashoda. To this robe I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and your unlimited pastimes, Jai Lord Damodar.
Jai.
Okay, Shashti, good.
Jai Krishna Sankirtanam.